Hello, and welcome back to the 2%, a podcast highlighting women who are breaking barriers and building the businesses of the future. Today, I'm thrilled to share a conversation with Allison Conrad, founder and CEO of Array, the wrinkle cream of hair care. With studies showing that genetics account for only 30% of hair graying and the rest attributed to factors like stress and diet, Array is the first science-backed system incorporating Eastern and Western modalities to slow and repigment hair using a combination of supplements and serums. Their preventative, proactive, and science-driven approach has been well received by the consumer market, and we are so excited to have Allison and the team as part of our Female Founders Fund family. This episode is a great one, so let's get started. Good morning, Allison. So great to have you on here today, recording our first podcast episode of the season. How is your day going?
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's going well. I woke up to my seven-year-old staring in my face this morning at 6 a.m. So I am I'm up and I am ready to go.
Love it. Love it. So we're excited to dig into Array, and the story behind, the business. But I think before that, would love to just hear a little bit about your background. You know, I know you are an industry veteran in terms of tech and have worked on some great companies in the past, but very curious also to hear how you found your way to the beauty industry specifically.
Sure. Yeah. My path is a little bit not straight. It's definitely not linear, but kind of it was a theme throughout. But I was in art history and econ, double major in college. And so I sort of thought, you know, my path would be working for Sotheby's. That was my internships during college. But the starting salary at Sotheby's was quite restrictive in terms of living in New York City. Yeah. So I actually ended up working at Martha Stewart Living. It was during a bit of a tumultuous time when she was getting convicted. So it was a really fascinating time to be in advertising sales. That was a tough spot, but I learned so much there. It was an incredible first job, but then I went into working at Coach. So I sort of always appreciated fashion and was interested in fashion. My girlfriend at the time was working for the CEO. And so I went over to Coach and it's really sort of, they call it like the Harvard of fashion. It's definitely a more numbers driven fashion company. So I learned a ton. It was a huge, a huge time for Coach. It was going from went from $1 billion to $2 billion in sales in the time I was there. Yeah. I mean, and I did not at the time understand that. Looking back now, I'm like, oh my God, that was incredible. But so I learned a ton there in marketing and merchandising. And then from there, I was actually doing my own side hustle. I was selling skirts online. So my mom taught me how to sew. And I was, sewing these skirts in New York City. And people were stopping me on the street and saying, oh, I love your skirt. Can I buy it? And I was like, what? I made it. Like, sure, I'll make you one. And that kind of just perpetuated into finding seamstresses, starting an online store. Everything was made to order. So I didn't have the capital to buy inventory or anything. So that's sort of how I went about doing this from basically nothing. Yeah. but my whole family is in the medical scientific world. And so they were sort of like, what in the world are you doing? And so I kept it as a side hustle. I kept my real job. And then I met the founder of Bonobos around this time. And he encouraged me to apply to Stanford Business School. Oh. And so that's what led me to Stanford. Yep. And I was doing skirts. He was doing pants. Yeah. I mean, obviously he was doing it in a much more formal and, intense way. But so I went to Stanford, obviously had, an amazing time there, learned so much. And then when I graduated, that's what actually brought me into the beauty world. I did a startup called Blushington. I wasn't the founder, like the ideas person behind it, but I wrote the business plan and helped run the company for 3 years. And so that was my first foray into beauty.
Amazing. Amazing. In terms of kind of innovation within hair care, what was the prompt that led you to start Array? Where did you see the problem, the opportunity? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it was a very organic process. So I started seeing gray hair a couple years ago, and I approached my hairstylist of now 9 years. He's my co-founder as well, Jay. And I wanted to do something about it. I was using sunscreen, I was using wrinkle cream, I was looking into Botox proactively, I exercise, I eat well, I was doing all these things to age as gracefully as I can, and I didn't see anything for hair. I saw that there were obviously products for hair loss, but I personally wasn't experiencing hair loss. I was experiencing graying hair. And so, my mom is completely white. My dad isn't, he's now more gray, but I was like, okay, it must be, maybe it's just inevitable. It's genetics, right? And so that led us into looking into what causes gray hair. And once we realized there's only one gene that causes gray hair and accounts for about 30%, that was the light bulb moment where it was like, oh my God, forever in time, people have just accepted this thing and, use hair dye to cover it up. What if we approached it differently? And Jay was really like, don't dye your hair. It becomes this whole long process. You come in every 4 to 5 weeks and you start hating me because your roots are showing. It's just sort of this process that's not fabulous. And my dad at the time, he's a pharmaceutical consultant and a doctor, internal medicine doctor, and he oversees cancer studies and found this article in 2019 linking increased risk of prostate and breast cancer to at-home hair dye use. So that was the second light bulb moment where it was like, okay, why are we questioning everything we put into and onto our bodies except for hair dye? It's like sort of the last man standing in terms of questioning toxicity and products. So all these factors really led us to trying to figure out an alternative approach of a product that, maybe isn't this miracle of reversing a full head of gray hair to black hair, which everybody's been, like everyone thinks, oh, that's the holy grail. And it's like, what if we just approached it differently and thought about it as the wrinkle cream of hair care, really just slowing down the process, making it, making you have a little bit more control over it, creating healthier hair, better hair in general. And also, what if society could change a little bit and be a bit more accepting of gray hair? It happens to literally all of us. So why are we not talking about it more and accepting it a bit more? So that's really what it came from a personal, and I wouldn't say problem, it's not a problem, but a personal experience that led us to questioning, how things have been done for so many years.
So I'd love to dig a little deeper into this, the number you mentioned, 30%, which, I know when we were chatting, really struck me as kind of contrary to what I think most people believe, that, graying is genetic and, you either get it from your mom or dad or, it's inevitable, basically.
Yes.
Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so it's this IRF4 gene. So scientists have identified the gene. To give some context, there's over 200 genes associated with hair loss. So it's really quite fascinating that there's so many products that exist for hair loss where feasibly gray hair is a bit more in people's control. So the problem though is that science has not taken gray hair very seriously. There are not a ton of studies. There's been some scientific research, and obviously everything that has been done to date we know about and use for our products. But there's so much more that needs to be done to figure out, okay, so if you do have the gene, are you still able to control some of these other factors that contribute to gray hair? Can you figure out if you do have the gene, right? Like there's still a lot that we do need to determine. But to me, that was sort of like, well, if there's all these other factors, it's oxidative stress really is biggest contributor to it. And that's from UV exposure. Smoking is terrible for gray hair. So if it doesn't stop people from smoking for knowing they're getting cancer, yeah, maybe it will stop them from knowing they're going to go gray.
Yeah.
And then, it's pollution, all these things and lack of nutrients in the diet. And so, trying to determine, okay, what are these oxidative stressors? What are these factors and what can we control? Stress is a factor, a lot of people associate with gray hair, and it hasn't been definitively proven. It's more of like causality versus, causation versus whatever. So we know obviously there's something there. I feel like stress causes everything, right? Ultimately. But that's a very hard thing to study because you can, my stress level of 3 might be your stress level of 10. Like it's a really hard thing. We obviously can't control that as with products, but we can control these other factors. And so that's what we've been focusing on, what we can control. Yes.
So I guess, you know, what's really interesting is you've identified this problem/opportunity. How do you go about kind of coming up with a solution? Because, you know, obviously huge market in terms of both men and women go gray, hair dye, you know, huge kind of expense for many people. But you know, it's obviously hard to be the first or one of the first to find a solution to this. And so what was your approach?
Yes, definitely is not an easy thing to tackle, but we really approached it from the science and efficacy first. And so when we were developing the supplement, that was our first product. We really looked to experts, right? My dad is involved. My mom is a dietitian. We also brought in a chemical engineer. We have another internal medicine doctor advisor. We have cosmetic chemists now. We have dermatologists. So we really wanted to make sure we were focusing on that side of it and making sure that it really works before we launched anything. And then we realized there was all these topical ingredients that were we could look to and combine in a unique way and get to the skin from the inside out as well as the outside in from the supplement. And so we wanted to approach it sort of like how acne products have been approached, right? From the inside out and outside in. And then we knew that it was going to be a lot of education, right? And so luckily the hair loss industry has paved the way for understanding you can take a supplement and it affects you know, your hair, right? And it takes time. That was the other big factor of like, this is not some overnight solution. You know, if you want that, use hair dye. But this is something that you have to commit to. It does take time. But it's better for you. It's cleaner. It's you know, healthier. So we were glad that that sort of hair loss industry has been paved. And so we were kind of skirting in with that and approaching gray hair from a different perspective. But there's so much more we need to do in terms of education and awareness and, you know, proving to people that it works from clinical studies to testimonials and before and afters, right? And there's a lot that we have to prove to the customer, which we're excited about, we're ready for. I mean, that's the whole purpose of us existing. And what we spend all of our time and energy on is just making sure that people know it works. And then the other part of it is making it an enjoyable experience. We don't want this to feel clinical and like a chore and something you have to like add to my routine and it's so annoying. You know, we're trying to make it easy. Our serum is super lightweight. It's adds volume. It's a styler too. So it's something that you can integrate into your routine quite easily. And same with the other styling products, the shampoo and conditioners smell really great, feel really great. They look great in your bathroom, right? So it is about the science and efficacy, and then the brand as well, of just making it a brand that you are, you know, excited to use on a daily basis, because you do have to use it daily.
I think the other thing that's interesting is, you know, I love the fact that both you and Jay really kind of dove deep into the history of other cultures that place a lot of importance on hair health. And looked at kind of what are organic and kind of more natural ingredients that have been used now probably for, you know, hundreds of years.
Centuries,
And kind of integrated some of those learnings into developing something that, you know, is net very healthy versus kind of what, you know, what I think people may think is a traditional hair dye that has a ton of chemicals in it. So I think that's an important part of it as well.
Yes, Eastern medicine as well as Western science, right? We wanted to look to both. We do have Eastern medicine ingredients that, again, though, we have to educate and we have to explain to people why we use these products and how they've been used for centuries. And so, it's I think it's all just about approaching it outside of the box, like thinking differently than has been done before. So.
In the past. So how would you describe your target customer? And what was really kind of your approach in bringing the product to market? You know, you're creating a new category very much. So kind of twofold, right? You're trying to acquire customers, but you're also trying to convince them that this is, you know, a new category that that is going to, you know, have a big impact on their health.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we're still trying to figure that out because it is a huge potential market, and there's so many, obviously, so many people go gray, right? So it's like, okay, at what point do they go gray? So this works best in the it's a proactive product, so early stages of graying. But what we found out is that you have to still have that pain point. So you have to have like a few gray hairs for you to realize like, okay, yeah, this is happening to me, right? Like a lot of people in their teens and 20s are like, that's not gonna, never. I'm never gonna age. I'm gonna look great all forever and time. And so it's these early stages where you're first starting to see it. For women, it's really a few grays, right? Because then they're like, oh gosh, I don't want to do, I don't want to go down the road. And for men, they're a little bit more tolerant of some gray, but they don't want to go full, Anderson Cooper. They like the salt and pepper look maybe. But so we're realizing that that's really the target demo to start the product. But we also found that people who still have less than 30% gray, but maybe dye their hair, this is a product they can use to dye their hair less often, less parts of their hair, ease that burden of, seeing your gray hairs grow in and make it just blend better and look better. And then it also helps with healthier hair in general. It helps with, hair goes, as you age, it gets duller, it gets coarser, it's finer, it gets drier, right? And so it just like your skin ages in many ways, it gets wrinkles, it gets sunspots, it loses elasticity. Same thing for hair. And so our products also help with just creating healthier hair in general. So it's been really fascinating to see sort of these two kind of points in people's lives where it's still early stages of graying, but maybe some people are accepting of it a little bit more. Some people still want to cover it up, but this eases that process.
I think one of the things I found super interesting, when we first met, was the fact that you have this pretty large male demographic that has found you, that is clearly, in need of a solution, or I should say, open to a solution, and willing to invest in it. Can you share a little more about that?
Yeah, it was so funny when we were first developing this. I was a bit skeptical that males would adopt this. We always knew it was going to be a unisex brand. We wanted the branding to be unisex, the scent to be unisex. But Jay was the one who was like, I see a lot of male clients and they might not be telling society that they are okay or they don't want to go gray, but they sure are telling me that they don't like this process, right? And so hair dye for men, it just looks a little funny too, right? Like it's a little bit more noticeable. So they almost have less options there. But and then some men are totally fine with going gray and love it, think it looks distinguished, great, fine. But a lot of men don't want to do that, right? So that's been a really fascinating part of the business and figuring out, how do we speak to men? A lot of men come to us through their wives or girlfriends or friends and are discovering us. I had a friend who's also an investor, and her business partner was staying at her house, and he doesn't know she's involved in the company, and he had To the Root, our serum, in the bathroom, and she's like, oh my God, you use this product? And he's like, oh yeah, my wife introduced it to me. I'm obsessed with it. He's like, I actually ran out, and they had a big investor meeting that day, and he's like, I got to go to Credo and get it now because I need it. It's my styling
My
product as
God.
well. And she's like, this is fascinating. Yeah, so it's been really fun to see the products that men adopt. My husband is obsessed with our scrub for his beard, because beards go gray actually faster, sooner, and faster than head hair typically. And white beard hairs grow 4 times faster, and so it's very noticeable. And it's something that men have never really had a solution for, their beard oils and maybe some dyes for beard, but right, there's no like proactive solution. So all our products, shampoo, serum, everything can be used on the beard as well.
I love that. In terms of kind of the company's trajectory, so obviously you've seen really exciting growth, particularly I would say in the last 12 months. Anything surprising, maybe a product that you hadn't expected people would respond to or growth in a particular area?
So we launched a dry shampoo, a non-aerosol dry shampoo in January last year, and the launch was, it was fine, but it wasn't sort of like any groundbreaking launch. But then over time, it started to pop up on TikTok and in social, and people love it, and we're so excited because it has a slight tint in it, so it blends in with all hair colors and doesn't leave the white powdery residue, and it has our actives dehydrated in it. So you're also using it for the benefits of the, you know, slowing of the gray hair, but it's just a great dry shampoo, and the scent is amazing. There's immediate results, right? Because you can immediately see you have less oiliness and more volume. And so that's been a really fun product that was sort of one of my pet projects, because I never found a dry shampoo that I loved, and we knew aerosols were not great, and people were going away from them. And so that's been a really fun one that we, you know, didn't necessarily expect would be super successful, but it has been. And I think it just also speaks to the need for styling products that are for an aging demographic. And there, you know, there's like purple shampoos exist for gray hair, but that's kind of it. And so we're really, you know, while gray is our focus, it's also, you know, the focus on aging hair, which, you know, every day your hair is aging. So we want to be able to meet people and let them have their best hair that they can.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So I know that efficacy, you know, when you have a science-based product is very important, and you guys have been so thoughtful around that. Can you share a little bit more about, you know, the early days and how that has evolved over time?
Yeah. So, you know, it was lucky, convenient, great that my family is in this space. So I was able to lean on them in the beginning when we, you know, were just developing this. You know, that was made this all possible really from the start, but then we've obviously worked with other outside experts and medical and scientific professionals. And I think that the theme is really that so many people are fascinated that so little has been done in the space, and how there much more needs to be done. I think that's what makes it really exciting for folks, because, you know, creating something new is really fascinating, but once you realize that it does have this efficacy and science-backed focus, it makes it even more exciting, right? Yeah. A lot of what we're trying to prove, as we get a lot of, this is snake oil and this can't really work because it's never worked before, right? And so it's so fun to kind of prove that wrong and show people. And so we're very focused on clinical studies. We have three going on right now. We've, you know, we've done consumer studies as well, of course, just to make sure that it's also working for the consumer. And so, yeah, it really is just a constant focus for us. You know, my dad approaches our studies literally like cancer studies, and I have to be like, okay, Dad, you know, we can rein it a little bit. This is a beauty product, but I appreciate that. I appreciate the diligence and the oversight. And yeah, I mean, it's just the beginning too. We have so much farther to go. We're introducing a new ingredient into all of our products shortly, which is so exciting. It's never been on the market before. So there's still things to come, and that's our job of just constantly making it better. So the line will be small. We have 10 products, and we have one more product launching next year, but that's it for a while. And then it's just really refining and focusing on always making the product as great as it can be.
So just along those lines, you know, looking forward in the next 12 months, you know, you obviously have a new product launching. What else are you excited about?
Yeah, we're so excited about building the brand this year. That's really the focus of this year, where it's awareness. People, it is fun though. So I am noticing, like, I was in an exercise class in New York. And I was there traveling for work, and this woman was like, we got to chatting, and she's like, "What do you do?" I said, "Oh, I have a company, you know, called Array in hair." "Oh my God, I know that brand." And I was like, "You do? You've heard of it?" You know, it is in the wild, which is exciting. But it's building that awareness. That really is the focus for this year. We're in Credo. That's our first retailer, which has been a great partnership, and they've been a wonderful partner in showing also the world that this is made with clean ingredients, and we're very thoughtful about the ingredients that we use in the products. And then it's the product that I mentioned that we're launching early next year is another really exciting product that has never been on the market, and you know, is sort of where I can't say too much, but works with hair dye. So we're really trying to also meet people where they are in terms of their use of hair dye. I think everyone always asks, like, what's the biggest goal for you for the Brandon. I'm like, as the day that everybody knows how to pronounce the brand is when I will know that we have made it, because we still get Ari Gray and it's like, no, it's a, it rhymes. It's a Ray Gray. So that'll, that's the focus for 2024.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's awesome. And as you know, huge, huge fan of brand, brand kind of expansion. So excited, excited to see what's to come in the next year. You know, I think one of the interesting developments, has really been, you know, I think a lot of emphasis in longevity. And you know, that, that has expanded across a variety of different verticals. How do you see Array's kind of positioning within that industry?
Yes. So, I mean, that's a great question. I haven't really actually thought of that explicitly for the product, but it, it so is. I mean, it's really, we're trying to, you know, make hair more, have more longevity, right? And so it's, it's part of the process of aging. It's so tied to our confidence and how we look and how we feel ultimately, just as much as it is for your face and your body, right? This hair is such a personal thing for most people. And so we want people to feel like they can keep having, you know, beautiful hair. You know, it might not be the hair you had when you were 16, right? But it, trying to make it the best that it can be. My grandmother lived to be 104, and my two other grandparents on the other side were like 98 and 95, I think. And so my whole life, I've always thought of longevity because my parents were like, well, you're probably going to live a long time. So you, you might want to like start, be, you know, like being healthy. And obviously my mom being a dietitian, I think it's always sort of been a part of my ethos and like my thinking of just living as best as you can, healthy, right? Like eating healthy, exercising. And, but yeah, it's so fascinating because I never thought about that before of in terms of longevity, but it, it is part of what we're trying to achieve with Array.
No, I love that. So, you know, we have, as you know, we've invested in quite a few beauty brands, and we have, I know a lot of beauty founders who listen to this podcast. You've done an incredible job of launching Array. And, you know, like I said earlier, past 12 months have seen a ton of growth. Any advice in terms of things that, you know, you think you did well or that you think, you know, positioned you to be successful from day one?
Oh, yes. Well, thank you. That's very kind. And I appreciate that. And it's a lot of hard work. But I will say, this is the 12th company I've been involved in. So it's certainly not my first rodeo. And I've learned a lot of what doesn't work. So I, you know, I definitely had failures. And from that, I really built the brand with unit economics in mind from the beginning. So focusing on margins, profitability, how you can scale a business, you know, subscription-based business is obviously a big focus for us. And so it's sort of those building blocks that you have to set from the beginning, very intentionally thinking about pricing in terms of your margin, but then also, you know, pricing it so that it's able to be affordable for many people, right? So not too expensive. And so it's these things, not as sexy, but are really important to focus on in the beginning. And then being really mindful and thoughtful of how you grow and, you know, maybe saying no to some things, that which is kind of hard as a founder, where you're like, oh yeah, like I'm going, I'm getting all these proposals and these, you know, these offers and things to do, and I want to grow the business, but sometimes you have to take a minute and slow it down a little bit just to be thoughtful and mindful. Not every, obviously, I mean, this is not a prescription for every brand and company out there, but we thought that was very important because we're trying to build a, you know, a very iconic seems like a big word, but you know, a brand that lives for a very long time. And this is not like a flash in the pan sort of brand. And to build a brand, it takes time and discipline. It takes investors who are like you, who are willing to put in that effort and that time and know that, you know, this is something that is hard, but it's also exciting. And it's been really great. But so, yeah, I would say, focusing on the business, which it seems like an obvious one, but sometimes isn't obvious. And I think with digital spend, you could just be paying for your customers and then realizing, oh gosh, we're not getting that return on the customer. And that was a waste of time. We're seeing D2C brands shifting away from that, of like growth at all costs, that those days are gone. And I saw that was ending in my time working for other brands. And so I brought that into our company. And, it's just thoughtfulness and mindfulness of how you build. Yeah.
No, that makes sense. The 2% is focused on highlighting stories of people who are working to improve stats around investing in diversity as it relates to founders, technology, and just generally within the industry. As you think about this from your point of view as a founder, what do you think it's going to take to get more parity in this field, to see more just more kind of gender equity within, within the world that we operate in?
Oh man, what a big
tough
question, Anu. I wish I had the solution. I think about it a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my focus too before going into this this foray. And so, yeah, it is such a problem, and it's a multi-pronged problem, and there's not one solution. So that's where I think it's really tough, but at the same time is exciting because there's so many different levers that can be pulled. But I think, for me, I wanted to create a brand again that, appeals to as many people as possible. I think that's really a huge part of an entrepreneur's job, is to think about who their market is, how big that market is, and how big the company can be. And it doesn't necessarily mean everybody has to create a company that's, a $1 billion company, but it is important to think about those things, because that informs how much money you should raise, who you should raise money from, how you're going to build a business. And so I think, women have such the capacity to run these huge companies and make such a difference in the world. And it's thinking big. And I think more and more women need to think big. And it's not just on women, like men need to also think big for women as well and support them in that. And we found that with, some of our investors that are male and are seeing this is a huge potential. They're customers too, so they get it.
And yeah, that helps. Yeah,
that helps. And, I think it's surrounding yourself with people who can, help you elevate. I mean, going to Stanford Business School is obviously a huge opportunity and such an advantage, but then it's also using that to your advantage and continually to reach out and network with folks and ask for things. I think, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. And so you might as well ask. And it feels like a risk to ask, but so many people are willing to help. It's I think a lot of people feel like, oh God, that's like such a big thing and a burden. And it's like, no, people want to help people ultimately. And so, I mean, this is not groundbreaking. I'm not like creating any, solving these problems, but it's going to take, little steps that get there.
Yeah.
But I am seeing more and more women like yourself investing in these companies, coming to us, right? And finding us and bringing it to part, I see that it's changing, which is great. And it just needs to keep changing. It needs to keep evolving. And then I have two daughters, right? And so I'm like, how am I influencing them right now by showing them that I'm growing this company? They're intimately involved with that. They're on the front lines of this. And so I want to show them, that my husband also works, but he's also equally involved in the household activities. And I think that's really important too, is to model to the next generation how you want to see change.
Sure. Sure. No, I love that. So we're going to move into the lightning round. And these are just a few questions you can answer with whatever comes to mind first. Are you ready?
Okay. Sure. Yeah. Let's do it. Love it.
So top product or products that you can't live without.
Okay, well, obviously, I'm going to say some Array products because it's true, and also, it's my job to say that. But I still, t I'm a diehard Not Today Gray supplement and To the Root serum user to this day. I use them every single day. I love our shampoo and conditioner, and we also just launched a vegan collagen leave-in conditioner for heat protection that I have personally been using for the last year because I've been testing it, but it's amazing. I can't say enough about it. So that's my Array pitch. But then I also love, Saint Jane has this amazing skin like sun ritual. It's a sunscreen primer. It's fantastic. Oh my gosh, I love it so much. And then Say's lip slip tint. It's like their tinted moisturizer is my favorite. Oh my, I could go on forever. The other one is
Great.
Phytomer. This is sort of, my mom introduced me to this product. It's called Rosy Visage. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's a toner and a makeup remover. I have been using it since I was 15 years old. It is
Wow.
the greatest thing of all time. Yes.
Oh,
So
great suggestion.
that's my last one. Yeah. That's
What
it.
people
I
or
could go on. You
brands?
have to stop me or else I'll keep
Yeah,
going. Yes.
I think we're good. What people or brands are you most inspired by?
Oh, that's a good one. So Osea here is another local LA brand. Jay actually does the founder's hair, and so we partner with them sometimes. I'm so impressed with what they have built over. They've been in business for a while. It's the daughter took over from the mom as the founder, and they have created such an iconic brand. We really are huge fans of what they've built in the beauty space. And then I would say, and outside of that, Patagonia, I'm constantly impressed with them and their ethos and what they're doing to try to change what they can of how bad fashion is for climate. And then another one that I love this brand, Tushy, the bidets that you can put. I know it's like the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. So run to go get a Tushy because they are save is helping the environment and it is so it's just a such a I travel now and I almost can't travel because I'm like, I don't have a bidet. This is like, how am I gonna survive? So
Oh,
yeah.
amazing. What does a successful legacy look like to you?
Oh man, just to make my kids proud. Yeah,
Oh,
I think
that's great.
making
That's great.
a difference in people's lives. I really
Yeah.
truly, people, we didn't approach this brand as like, oh, we see this white space and like we're gonna just,
Yeah.
create this. This truly came from a personal experience that I realized other people have and are going through, and
Yeah.
I want to imbue confidence in people. And my sister's pediatric ER doctor, so she's literally saving lives. And so I compare, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I'm just, having people have better hair. Like, I don't know that that's like such an iconic legacy ultimately, but no, in all seriousness, it's like we really are trying to create something that makes a difference in people's lives. And if we can
Yeah.
ultimately help people to get cancer less from using less
Yeah.
hair dye, like then that's a huge win.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's amazing. And last question, where can our listeners find you online?
So it's arraygray.com. So AreyGrey.com, as well as Credo online. And Credo has 14 stores nationwide. That is where we are currently.
Perfect, perfect. Well, thank you so much. This has been amazing and excited to have this launch. Thank you for tuning in to the 2% for today's episode featuring Allison Conrad, founder and CEO of Array. Historically, hair care has been a category lagging behind in innovation within the broader beauty and personal care industry. And so I'm excited about the legacy Array is creating in hair care and longevity.
Stay in touch with us on Instagram at Female Founders Fund and on Twitter at FCubeVC. And for those of you building the next billion-dollar businesses, we'd love to hear from you. Send all pitch decks to pitches@femalefoundersfund.com and we'll be in touch. And finally, if you're interested in working at one of our 45-plus female-founded startups, explore our job opportunities at jobs.femalefoundersfund.com.